Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening today in astrology, human design, and the gene keys. It's going to be one of those days, I can tell. Things are a little bit wonky here today in my world. I kind of like these kind of days because they take me into magical and wondrous places, but it can also play havoc with my needing to get things done or having to, you know, think clearly, be on time, etc. So this morning is one of those struggles. If you're finding yourself struggling this morning with anything like that, time or dreaminess, you're in good company. It's just one of those days. It isn't going to be one of those things like we have Saturn in our corner that's going to push us to get things done and to, you know, get it done in a good way, fast, by goals, etc. It's going to be more of one of those foggy sort of days where maybe you have some clarity, then you don't. Like clarity is playing hide and seek with you. But there's a reason for all of that, and it has to do with the gene keys and the human design week changing, and also the moon changing this morning. So let's just say good morning quickly to everybody. Hello, Mimi. Good to see you. Marjorie, nice to see you. Rebecca, good to see you out there, and everybody else who's joining us. I was getting my makeup done, getting my hair done. And I went, oh my goodness, I haven't even told anybody that there's a show yet this morning. So I quick come in here and do that. And so if you didn't get notified until just a few minutes ago, that is why, because I got lost in something, and it was gene keys related. And you know, if you've done any work in the gene keys, once you dive in, it is like getting lost in something, and getting lost was what I did. I got lost in the gene keys. I looked up at the clock and went, oh my God, I better get ready. So here I am running a little bit behind, but it's all good, right? I did get to at least plan what was going on here today. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts. Tumiel, great to see you, Linda. Good morning, Kristen. Good morning, Debbie Hedden. Good morning. And everybody else, if I can't see you or I haven't called out your name, lovely to have you with us this morning. So right now we are still sitting with the moon in Aquarius in void of course, which means that's another reason that could have been playing into my la la land this morning, because the moon isn't really affecting anything yet. So it's hard to get yourself going and moving and, you know, get a direction and find that direction when the moon is sitting there in that void, not really doing much of anything. But that all changes at 9:05 this morning, noon 5 for you all on the East Coast, when the moon switches from the sign of Aquarius and into the sign of Pisces. We get a fundamental shift in the energies that we've been experiencing from the last couple of days. The moon in Aquarius, while it was very air-oriented, mind-oriented, the moon in Pisces is not so much. It is very spiritual-oriented. It brings us more imagination and fantastical sort of energies, brings us our minds into the more creative, the flow of fantasy and ideas, dreaming energy. If you guys had any odd dreams last night, that it might be the moon shaping up to move into Pisces, or it may be that tonight and tomorrow night that some things come through to your subconscious mind via your dreams. There's also some other really interesting energies that are lined up now for us as the sun and earth have changed gates this morning, bringing us into more intuitive energy that's clairaudient. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit here, but it's like from later today through the next, you know, 5-6 days, there's this opening up of our intuitive faculties. So for those of you who aren't always very intuitive, suddenly you have access to that. It may be confusing as these images come in or thoughts come in, or you think you're hearing things or seeing things or whatever it is, because all of those clair gifts, clairs, like clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance, etc. All of that is opening up for us as we start to move forward. And that is because, too, not only is the sun sitting at a gate on your spleen, but so is Mercury and so is Venus, and ultimately Mars will be there as well. So it's because the spleen houses our intuition. For those of you who don't have those gates defined, now suddenly you may be coming up with all kinds of intuitive imagery or things that you're hearing or experiences, right? So even dreaming is one of the key intuitive forces that can be triggered during this period of time. Right now with the moon getting ready to move into Pisces, or when it's in Pisces, we have blurred boundaries, right? Pisces energy is the ocean energy. It's that deep water energy, and boundaries blur in that energy where we end and another person begins, or what we should do versus what we shouldn't do, all gets sort of blurred and mixed up. So we want to be very aware that we don't give away too much of ourselves during this period of time where we have those blurred boundaries. Other people's boundaries are also blurred. So they may be infringing on you in this particular time period. So you want to watch for that as well. Compassion and unconditional love also triggered during this period of time. Pisces takes us to that higher order love, and where compassion for ourselves and for others resides. It is very mystical and spiritual energy that we walk into for the next few days. And all of those things seemingly on the high side, right? The more positive expression of these energies of the moon in Pisces. But there's also the seedier side, the darker side, or the lower frequency energies that can rear their ugly heads periodically through the next few days. And that would be victim energy. Now, primarily, Pisces energy is in that victim energy when it's lower in its octave. And it is helplessness sort of energy, where we feel like there's nothing that can be done for us, or we can't help ourselves, or we give up on ourselves, or we're victims. Or alternatively, sometimes this victim energy can turn into the more martyr type of energy. And then all of those things put pressure within us and create an anxiety that begins to run through your system. And particularly when we also have some minor scritchy energy going on with Neptune today. And that can also further take us into the confusion and indecision and the inability to see things clearly. So just being kind and gentle with yourself over the next few days. Keep your handy dandy journal with you so that you can write down things that come to you, your ideas or your intuitive knowing, anything that pops up in your field that you want to remember. Make sure you have that, or your little handy dandy phone where you can record a message to yourself to remember something. All right. So let's see. How's everybody doing out there? How did you guys all do yesterday? It's Rita, Winston, and Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel's house day. Yay. Does that mean you got the house, that you're moving into it? I hope so, because today's October 9th, and I was thinking of you last night going, gosh, I hope that they have a house, because wasn't Rita meant to be out of her apartment by today? So that's awesome. I hope that's exactly what you're saying. Good morning, Amy Moore. And Marjorie says, good morning from a cool, windy day in Virginia. Happy 64th birthday to me. Sometimes I love wonky days. It's a wonky day, but it's an awesome day because it's your birthday, Marjorie. So happy birthday to you. Happy solar return. The best thing to do for yourself on a birthday is to get a reading, right? Get an astrology reading for your birthday, because your birthday is your new year, right? So what are the themes that are developing for you, et cetera, et cetera. If you're interested in that, hit me up and I'll let you know more about that. Debbie, wishing you a happy birthday, Marjorie. And everybody's chiming in now saying that you're, you know, wishing you that happy birthday. And Angela says, yes, right on the visions and intuition. I'm typically intuitive and do readings often, but still the visions and dreams last night. Wow. I thought maybe I just did not fully close down, put up boundaries after a recent reading, thinking of it differently now. Good morning, Anne. I, you know, definitely, Angela, because, you know, make sure what you're cutting out or shutting down, et cetera, or breaking is your tie with that energy of the other person that you've been working with. And isn't that you're cutting down or shutting down, not cutting down, your own intuitive stuff, because you want to be able to have access to your dreams and to what you know, or to what you see or hear. So be aware of that. Debbie Tibbetts, yes, buying it today, and she's moving in 2 weeks. Nice. Congratulations. Angela says, yes, right on. Okay, that's the same thing that's being repeated. I don't know why that's being repeated, but okay. Anyway, so going on with the moon today, it is going to find itself after noon for you all on the East Coast and after 9:05 for us here on the West Coast. It'll find itself in a trine with Venus and in a sextile to Uranus. Anytime the moon comes into contact with Uranus, there's that awakening energy, right? That you're going to see later why this might even be more profound this week, where we are being shaken awake. Like, you know, when you're asleep and you haven't heard the alarm and somebody comes along and is shaking you, waking you up, we are being shaken and stirred and not necessarily as a drink. We're being shaken and stirred and being asked to awaken to our true selves, to our authentic selves. So we are being prompted, that's another good word, prompted. We're being prompted to move ahead, but we have to do it in a smart way. We can't do it in a way that doesn't make sense, that isn't authentic or within integrity. And everything is seemingly a little bit crazy, as old things are crashing and new things are being brought and built in its place. So we want to be really careful about how we move forward here, but be willing to awaken, be willing to be shocked. And you're going to see why that's important here in a few minutes. You know, shock isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes shock, you know, breaks you out of your reverie. It breaks up the energy pattern so that some change can take place. Now, as well as the good things going on with the moon today, with the Venus and Uranus, the Sun and Venus are also in a difficult configuration, a minorly difficult configuration with Neptune. The Sun is forming an inconjunct to Neptune, which is a 150-degree angle. That relationship is one of they don't get one another, right? They just don't see eye to eye, right? It's like you coming across the one person in your world that you just never understand and trying to have a deep conversation with them. And you have to adjust your perception. You have to maybe let go of believing that you have to understand them in a certain way. So the Sun in conjunct Neptune is an energy that can bring on confusion, that can make it hard for us to understand one another, that can make it hard for us to peel away layers. So be very aware, stay in your body, stay conscious. And particularly for you, for example, Debbie, you're buying a house today. That means you're signing on the bottom line if you haven't already done that. Make sure everything is as it is supposed to be. We are very close, bullet burn close to the shadow of Mercury's next retrograde. So we want to make sure that we are clear, right? That today is not necessarily the day to make big decisions, but something like you've been into, Debbie, this has been moving and working all along behind the scenes and out in front for the last couple of months. So I'm not so much worried for you in terms of making decisions today because I believe the decision's been made, but make sure that the paperwork and everything, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, the periods are at the end of the sentences, etc., if you are in the process of signing papers today. As well, Venus turns into a sesquiquadrate, that is a minor square with the planet Neptune. So here, the minor square is a 135-degree angle between the two planets. So you're looking at a 90-degree square plus another 45 degrees. That makes it a 135-degree angle. It is a square that creates the need for us to adjust our expectations. So today, and we all have them, right? We all have these expectations and they drive me crazy because we expect things to be a certain way, to turn out a certain way. And when it doesn't, we, you know, I don't know about you, but I end up feeling very down on myself or very down on the world, or that's just a tendency that we have. So if we adjust our expectations, if we can remove our expectations, even if we can just hold space for however it turns out, and that it's all in right and perfect timing, and it's perfectly happening just as it should be, then we are in a better place than if we're trying to hold on to that expectation and make things happen the way that we think that things should happen. So if you are faced with having to make a big decision today, it's best to hold for a day or two, as indecision is also creeping into the picture here. Remember, the sun is in Libra still, and partly the sun in that inconjunct to Neptune where things aren't clear can feed into that energy of indecision. So slow down, take a look very deeply at what you're doing, be able to hear and feel and sense from your intuitive place, not from the logical or from the right brain, left brain side of yourself, right? We want to be able to move into the right brain and to be able to feel or sense things that are unseen, unheard. It's just a really interesting place that we can go to when we use our intuition. It's all heightened right now, right? I can just feel like all my senses are on alert, not in a bad way, like I'm expecting something to happen, because I don't sense that at all. It's that I just feel like I'm more engaged on a level that isn't in the physical. Hope that makes sense for everybody. Let me know how you guys are all feeling out there about that. Mimi says, great news to Debbie. And lost my voice as Mercury moves over my Saturn. Woohoo! Rebecca says, happy birthday to you too as well, Marjorie. Okay, Rebecca, that's interesting, right? So it's funny, once upon a time in my life, for whatever reason, I always feel like I need to take on more. So there was a point in time when I went to a candle party, Party Light. I don't know if you guys have that all over. I don't know if it's all over the country and all over the world, but here we have this thing called Party Light. It's a home party based on candles and scents and all the fun little frou-frou decor and that goes with that. And for some reason, I decided I needed to do that as well as be an astrologer. And yes, I did know my human design at the time, and I don't know what possessed me. It just sounded like fun, something distracting, and a distraction it was. And almost immediately, you know, in these places, in this business, you do parties and you go to other people's homes and you talk about all the candles and the scents and the gifts and the what have you. And of course it's a sales position too. So you're also trying to get people in and have other parties. And I literally, the first day I go out to do parties, I lose my voice. Literally, I had the worst case of laryngitis and days of laryngitis. And, you know, even knowing my human design at the time, I didn't connect to it. I'm using my voice incorrectly. But often that's what happens, right? Your body shows you where you're out of sync with your voice. Or because this is passing over your Saturn, it's quite possible that the act of losing your voice, Rebecca, gives you access to more internalized work, right? Not so much of the external using your voice, but to internalize and listen more deeply to what's happening, to the listening component more than the speaking component. So I always find it amusing, though, when these things happen. And, you know, with Uranus getting triggered, like almost every day this week, there's been a moon, something to the planet Uranus. The unexpected things, right? You don't expect that you're going to lose your voice, but boom, there it's gone. And sure, it will come back. And when it does, then maybe you'll be able to see why it is that you were spending that time in the quiet. Good morning, Colleen. She says she's joining us late today. It's all good. So we've been just talking about what the moon is taking us to, and that we have these little scritchy things going on between the sun and Neptune, Venus and Neptune. So I guess the biggest message for the day would be to slow your roll, right? Try to keep everything on the down low, so that you can, you know, without the blare of horns and the jabbering of people all around you that you can tune into and hear what's moving inside of you, right? What is the voice that you're hearing within? And this becomes really super important because today the sun moved into the gate 57. And we were talking about 57, likely it was late last week, when we were talking about the fear field. Right, the fear field that we are born into, that we adopt almost from our parents. And there's a really good reason, a couple of reasons why these energies sort of come together. And that's because in, remember we've been talking about the SQ, the IQ, and the EQ in your Gene Keys hologenetic profile, right? The IQ meaning your let's start with the SQ, from birth to 7 in your physical development, the EQ from 7 to 14 in your emotional development, and the IQ from 7 to 14, or I mean from 14 to 21, excuse me, that would be your mental development. But there's also a gene key that represents your gestation, right? The period from conception to birth, right? Where as a fetus, you are, you're in tune, you are picking up all of the field of energies that your mother is experiencing and the interactions with people that she's having, her interactions with the outer world are sort of moving through her and into you. So the gene key 57, or the gate 57, if you will, represents that gestation period of time. It almost is a trigger, an attractor force as to what you may experience. And it's very auditory energy. So if you think about it, in the womb, your eyes would have been no use, right? You're in a protected bubble and you're floating in fluid. So you're not really able to touch or feel anything except the warmth, perhaps, or the sense of comfort or being surrounded by something. But what you can do is hear, right? Hear. And it's distorted. The hearing that you hear as a fetus or as a in the gestation period of time is distorted, as it's moving not only through from the outer world into an inner world, but also from that inner world, it's moving through fluid or liquid or water into the ear. So there's an audient quality here that's a little bit distorted or can get distorted. And so clairaudience, literally, as you're moving through that period of time, becomes being very intuitive, listening deeply so that you can really catch what it is that's happening on a spiritual level or on an unconscious level. This is not necessarily a conscious energy. So then when the sun moves through the gate 57, or any planet for that matter, and we've had other planets, Mercury and Venus, moving through that particular energy. Hold, please. Let's see. Right now we have the sun moving through there. I believe we already had. Yeah, we did. We already had Mercury and Venus moving through that energy back at the end of September, like the third and the fourth week of September. So that may be why we had brought that up, because Mercury and Venus were at that gate. And later in this month, Mars will be at this gate. So we're having several instances of how this energy applies to us. So the sun being at gate 57 is bringing us unease in the shadow energy. That's what the shadow is. So when we can't hear correctly, or we can't sense, we can't use all of our physical senses, what's left to us to use is our intuition. But it creates this sense of unease, a fear, if kind of rippling through, that maybe we're not hearing things correctly or we're not sensing things correctly. Well, where we then want to seek out validation or sort of have something in the outer world that really tells us, yes, you're hearing or seeing or feeling correctly, but that's the wrong place, right? The right energy here is about intuition. That's the gift, is intuition. The extraordinary, or the highest expression, the Siddhi, is clarity, clairaudience, clearly hearing, clearly intuiting, clearly knowing. I would throw all of those clairs in with this particular sun at the gate 57. in the more repressed expression of this energy, we have hesitancy. We hesitate to listen to our intuition, which, by the way, speaks in the moment and doesn't come back. It doesn't keep haunting you, right? It doesn't keep coming back. But what can happen, particularly for the people who have this gate that are in their human design, their human design sun may sit there, or it may be other planets that sit there at your gate 57. You can be very hesitant to really listen to your intuition. You want to second guess it. And if you are a generator type, for example, you know, you're already second guessing God all the time, or source, or whatever that, you know, that field of spirituality. And it can cause then the problem of letting go of the intuition and moving into the mind up here, where we already know it's not the place to make decisions. But it doesn't stop us from moving up into the mind to look for the validation or the confirmation that what we're intuiting is real. Therein lies the problem, right? Because now the expectation sets in that, well, if this is my intuition, then it'll come back. You know, I'm going to feel that again, or I'm going to hear that again, or I'm going to sense that again. But now it's done. Right? The time for action has passed. The time for taking the next step was passed, because now you've gotten into your head and things are confused and you don't know what's real. You don't know what's true. So we have to watch when intuition strikes that we are taking it at its face value in the moment. And this creates a field of unease, as we fear that if we do it, then what is the impact on our future? And if we don't do it, what is the impact on our future? It's all future faced rather than being in the body, in the moment, and listening deeply to what it is that your intuition is saying. Does that make sense to people? Are you guys doing okay with that? Good morning, Marissa. And Amy says, how bizarre. I journaled just yesterday, setting an intention for clarity. I think that's awesome. How intuitive of you, right? How cognizant of you, right? There's also claircognizance, clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience, there's one about smelling too, which is also heightened right now. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But the reason I really want to make this clear to you is because in the rebellious form of this, it's being impetuous, right? Impetuous kind of comes from impatience, right there, that sense that we want to take action, we want to let go of this unease that we're feeling, and we feel like sometimes taking any action is better than taking no action. And so we, without thinking, or without, which is sometimes a good thing, but without really listening deeply, we take action, we may be moving in the wrong direction. So it's important not to be too hesitant, and it's important not to be impetuous. Therein lies the conundrum, if you can see that, feel that, sense that, right? It's pretty powerful, because not because you are not listening to yourself. It's that we've become unskilled in listening to our intuition, because the mind for the last 500 years has become more important in our evolution than the body's senses. And in a way, it's never left us, but any skill, as you know, if you don't use it, you might lose it. We don't ever lose our intuition, by the way, completely. It just goes dormant. And we tune it out in favor of listening to the mind. So we got to retune ourselves, right? Tuning back in to all of those mystical, magical senses that come through being open to listening from a different place than your head. Make sense? I hope so. And I think some of you are out there telling me already, you've been listening, right? Your intention for clarity, Amy, and dreams that people have been having, all of those things are signs to listen to your intuition. And in fact, in dreams, a lot of times it's highly symbolic. And the need for intuition is even more heightened as we search for the answers to what were those symbols? What was that telling me? Right? Sometimes in that case, you just have to go to your journal and just do some free writing and allow yourself to tap in that way. So I hope all of that makes sense. Now, the Earth this week is at probably the more interesting place. It's at the gate 51, which we all know is the gate of shock, and it sits on the will center, the little, oh my goodness, I didn't print up I haven't printed up a human design chart in a while. What are you thinking, Janet? Let's look at a human design chart from a couple of days ago, actually September. But I want to show you, here is the Will Center, and gate 51 is this little one right here. And it connects the little Will Center or heart center to the identity center, to the seat of the soul. So that channel, which is gate 51 on the Will Center and gate 25 on the identity center, the love of spirit, reconnects us to our deeper innate ways of knowing through shock. Right? Shock is an agitation in the lower expression. It is initiative in the gift expression, and it is awakening in the highest expression. So there is a purpose in shock. And shock doesn't always have to be bad things. It can be great things, right? It can be really good things. But sometimes we're hard-headed as humans. We're slow to pick up the signs in the universe that are pointing us in a direction. So sometimes it is the shock of something that moves us back to bring those two centers together to complete that channel. And in that, then our individuality and our ego blend with our spirit to make a whole human, right? To make yourself whole and to awaken you to the truth of who you really are. So the sun and the earth, both this week then, and always, the sun and the earth challenge one another. When you look, I don't think I have that on my thing, but when you look at your hologenetic profile, and I'm hoping that you guys picked up that link I put in there earlier this week and went and got your own, what you'll see is that the sun and the earth, the top one, it says life's work, and over here it says evolution, I believe. Those two challenge one another. And you're challenged sort of to wake up to, what are these energies bringing me to? And the same thing happens every week when the sun moves into a gate, the earth moves into a new gate, and there's a challenge, a gauntlet has been laid. And the gauntlet that's laid here is about how the earth and shocks wake us up to engage our intuitive abilities, right? To engage, to let go of fear by listening deeply to what's going on within you. All right. Hopefully that is helpful. Questions, anything that people are wanting to have me explain? The jinkies are fascinating. Realize that your MC sits there, a lot of practice ahead, you know. And isn't that what life is all about? Practice. This is like the biggest classroom of all, practicing all of these things and how they pertain to you. And, you know, you have your own human design or your own gene key energy. Yet, as I said, the gate 57 rules the gestation period for everybody, even though you also have a gestation period represented in your Venus sequence within your hologenetic profile through the gene keys. And I apologize. I was looking that up this morning. I was on a deep dive trying to find, I believe it's the attraction that is the gestation period in your gene keys. But I want to validate that, verify that before we actually dive into that a little further. I totally remember the IQ, SQ, and EQ. I just need to remember what the gestation bubble was. And I really want to say it's the attractor, and I should listen to my intuition, but I want to confirm. So when we are dealing then with a challenge that's being laid, it's the challenge to evolve, the challenge to move through the fears and the things that are holding you down, or the different shadows that have been triggered. That's what it is that you're moving through. Good morning, Gail. Good morning, Elisa. Nice to see you, ladies. So I hope that makes sense for everybody. I thought we would do a couple of things here. First of all, let's take a look at our Wisdom Keepers Inner Guidebook, The 64 Faces of Awakening by Rosie Aronson. And Rosie was on the show. Remember, she brought us this idea of looking at the gene keys with these oracle cards that are beautiful. And I'm going to do the earth one first. because I just think that this is the one that of the two is a little bit more scary, if you will. And it is the gift of initiative, remember, and agitation or shock at the lower expression and the highest expression, awakening. But look at that. That's a beautiful card, initiative. And let's read this. Remember, when we're reading these, you can get this. This comes with the deck of cards. And here's the deck, right? It is the Wisdom Keeper's Oracle Deck and Inner Guidebook, 64 Faces of Awakening by Rosie Aronson. So we are going to look at the gate 51. That is the gate of a shock on the will center or ego center. And the very top energy here says, creative initiative is the path of every human spirit. Every one of us must at some point in life leave the crowd and head off into the uncharted wilderness of our heart. That sounds very poetic, doesn't it? The gift is initiative, the shadow agitation, and the siddhi is awakening. The programming partner, obviously, the gate 57, the sun and earth both at 57 and 51. The wisdom story. When I was just a toddler, several monks appeared at our door. After vigorous testing, I was recognized as the incarnation of a spiritual master. My parents were not religious people. They were shocked, but too subservient and cowardly to fight for me. I'll never forget crying as I was taken away from my mother. For 1 year, I was bathed in love and attention by my appointed teacher. I loved him so much. He always showed me pictures of my parents, reminding me of our connection. But one day, our monastery was brutally attacked by hostile soldiers who hated our people. My beloved teacher was killed. Before I knew what had happened, I was swept up into the arms of another monk. We escaped through the mountains and arrived in another monastery. Though well cared for, I was terribly jumpy and nervous. I had trouble focusing on my studies. It was hard to trust anyone. My mind and heart understood I was safe, but my body didn't. It was always on guard and desperate to release its agitation. Violence wasn't an option, so my mind took over. I became obsessed with moving up the ranks in the monastery and constantly reminded myself that I was special because I was chosen so early. I was determined to be the first of my peers to awaken. To my peers, I seemed fearless, disciplined, and precocious, but deep down, I was traumatized. Thankfully, my new teacher saw the terror in me and understood the shock I'd been through. He also knew that shock would be one of my greatest teachers. One day, it would help me release the false security of the ego, accept the certainty of death, and awaken to oneness. But he also wisely knew I was too young to understand this. Instead of a lecture, he gave me a paintbrush, a canvas, and the freedom to do whatever I wanted. His instruction was simple: follow your heart. The first stroke felt like jumping off a cliff, but soon I was filling the canvas with colors and symbols unlike anything seen before. My body relaxed, I made friends, and lost interest in competition. At first, I believed I was creating something new through the art. But now I know I am only rediscovering and retracing an eternal truth. There is no need to bring something new to the canvas, only to unveil the canvas itself. My gift to you. I am not here to lead you. I am here to initiate you. It is time to step off the beaten track, release everything you've ever been taught, and embrace an entirely new way of being. Though you may stand upon the shoulders of others, in the end, only you can take the leap. There is no safety net, no way to avoid fear. If you want to transcend fear, move through it. Honor your creative impulses wherever they take you. Let your awe-filled heart lead you back to your own heart. Good fortune is inevitable when you trust the love inside of you. If you do have a need to compete, do not compete with others. Funnel your competitive urges into your own creativity, and soon you will find competition replaced by deeply fulfilling collaboration. You know, I forget that that will center that the gate 51 is on represents the ego, but it's also the center where competition arises, right? And a lot of people, about 7/8 of the population, have that center open. So you're taking in the competitive spirit of those on the planet that do have this energy. And it puts you in a position of often feeling like you need to do more or you need to be better in order to compete with those around you. So that's where this energy of competition is coming from, is that the will center represents that ego energy of competition. Okay, questions for contemplation. Do your fears keep you feeling agitated, hopeless, or shut down? Do you shy away from life, or do you engage in risky behaviors? Does your competitive drive get in the way of your relationships? Do you ever draw out the hostility in others and not know why? Think of a time you faced a fear and experienced a breakthrough. What were you afraid of? What and who gave you courage? What leap are you being called to take at this time of your life? Find a creative way to explore an unknown. Pretty cool. So I will type up. I will put those. You can tell I'm old. I will take the questions for contemplation. I will add them to the Living Astrology Facebook page for those of you who want to go through the deep dive. And on Friday, remember tomorrow, I will not be here. I'm headed to Seattle. That should be fun. And so on Friday, we'll take up the Gate 57 through the cards and see what that means for us. And we will maybe take a deeper look at the Gate 57 through what does it mean to be, you know, have clarity? What does clarity mean for us? Okay, lastly today, what time is it? I've got to make sure I'm on time today. Lastly, I want to talk about Mercury moving in. Mercury is always that little messenger god. We call him the messenger god for a couple of reasons. One, based in mythology, but the other is that he is often the way shower, the one who paves the way for the other planets to come behind him. And that is because he spends a good deal of time out in front of the sun. And then he turns retrograde, backs up through the same territory he's been in, conjuncts with the sun, moves back behind the sun, almost like now he's batting cleanup, right? He's cleaning up behind all the horses that have been in the parade. And he's bringing us back forward to meet up with the sun again. And then he again moves forward of the sun. So he's often a messenger. He brings us glad tidings, right? He brings us news. He is that messenger. And the messenger, at this point, Mercury is ahead of the sun, right? The sun is in Libra, but Mercury is ahead up there in Scorpio. And this is all a part of the natural cycle that Mercury goes through. And Mercury then is showing us the way by standing now at the gate 44 in your human design. And let me show you where the gate 44 is. I'm going to circle it. Not the big green circle, that was from another day, but this little circle right here, this is where the gate 44 is. And it is a gate that takes the spleen and connects it up over here with the gate 26 on the will center. So the will center, again, likely being triggered as Mercury now fills in the gap. I do believe Jupiter's still sitting at 26, so we're going to have a completed channel. And this is the channel of integrity. This is the channel of truths or lies. And wow, is our news covered with this kind of stuff right now, right? You in your own life may be experiencing this energy of lies that are being uncovered or truths that are being revealed or the suspicion that there's something more to the story than what meets the eye, etc., right? All these things are coming up. Now that Mercury's sitting here, it is going to be an interesting few days. Likely this is going to be something that wakes you up, because what the 44 does in fear is trigger our fear of the past repeating itself. So interesting, right? The sun right now is at the gate of the fear of the future, while Mercury, the messenger, is sort of giving us a clue that we may be also hanging on to baggage from the past, and it's time to let that go. But there's also another energy that's at work in the gate 44, and that's the energy of patterns. It is logical energy. So we have the sun at the gate that's intuitive, and the planet Mercury now moving in a gate that is about the recognition of patterns and the ability to predict the future based on how the patterns repeat. So if we, for example, see that the sun rises in the morning in the east and it sets in the evening in the west, and we see this enough times, it creates a pattern. We can predict that the sun rises in the east tomorrow and sets in the west. Well, we know that to be true. I'm just using it because it's a perfectly obvious pattern that repeats itself. But now think about the patterns that we often attach ourselves to, where we've been hurt or we've been burned, we've been betrayed, or we've been disrespected before in the past when we've set out to do something, when we've set out to be our true selves, right? Or we've fallen in love and we've gotten into this relationship and then our love is betrayed. And now that becomes baggage, right? That we carry with us now into the next relationship or into the next activity. And if we do not address that baggage, then that fear holds on there and becomes a way to stop us from moving forward, because our expectation is always that the past is going to repeat itself. And it may not be what's in your conscious mind, but subconsciously that's what's happening. So Mercury is bringing up the patterns that we are holding ourselves to, whether they're conscious or unconscious. We are dealing with patterns and how it is that they create interference in our lives. The shadow energy is interference. And let's think of interference this way. I say, I want this. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find myself the perfect job. I'm going to be with a group of people who absolutely love me. I'm going to find the best love relationship. I'm going to have enough money to pay everything I need to plus more. And I set out to do that. And then the past rears its ugly head, right? The past, something from the past. The last time I did that, oh my gosh, that happened. So interference patterns, right? We are going one way and out of the blue comes an interference pattern that can block us, can limit us, can create fear in us. So we'll be working with these interference patterns in the more hidden dimension. This energy is about self-doubt. And isn't it interesting that Neptune is sitting at the gate 63, which is self-doubt? So is it possible that your hesitancy to move forward or to take the next step is really born out of self-doubt? Or is it the more rebellious form of this shadow, which could be suspicion? Right? I'm suspicious now that everybody's motives are not clear, that they want to take something from me, or that I'm going to get hurt, or I'm going to get abandoned, or I'm going to get disrespected, right? So all of these things are going to be up in our faces as well as Mercury sort of is priming the pump, if you will, for that energy to come up, right? What patterns from the past are we holding ourselves to? And is that true? Right? Is it true that just because I've been burned in the past, that my stepping out now is going to mean I'm going to have the same thing happen? Questioning, right? Mercury. In the gift frequency, this is teamwork. This is where we bond together and we work together to get things done. We cooperate. It's very Libra feeling. And then in the highest energy, it is synarchy. Whew, that is a big word. Synarchy versus what we have now on the planet, which is hierarchy. Synarchy says together we're all one and we all have the same power. We all have the same strength. There's no I'm above you and you're down here, I'm up here. It is we are all side by side, even, and that is going to affect everything on the planet as we move more into synarchy. Now, do I think that's going to happen in the next week? But it is something for us to aspire to release ourselves from that idea of hierarchy, where one person, one class, one group is better than another. And that takes us to the very foundation of what is crashing around us as we're looking at a lot of change on the planet in terms of how we deal with one another, race, division, politics, healthcare, prosperity and abundance. All of these things are based on this hierarchy model that is crashing down and eventually will be replaced by synarchy. I don't know how long it takes. I'm ready for that right now. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that evokes a lot of fear in too, right? You can hear it out there when they call people socialists, right? Or socialism, that word being bandied around about, you know, creating already a fear-based experience of our being all even and all in equality, right? That creates that lashback by people who kind of like this idea of hierarchy based on it's comfortable. It's been our experience on this planet for a long time. And to let go of that, what does that mean, right? What does that mean for us? It'd be a pretty scary thought, I think, for some people. All right. I think that's going to have to be it for me this morning. Let's take a look and see. I haven't checked on questions. Marissa, on the profile, how does the number correspond to the gates in the Gene Key book? For example, if the IQ is 12.4, there aren't any 12.4s in the book. You're absolutely right. How astute of you. But there is a Gene Key 12. So what that is essentially saying is that your IQ is at the gate 12 or at the Gene Key 12, but in the fourth line. And that just takes it to the next level. It's a little bit deeper. Maybe someday we can get to that, but just know that the line energy four, if this is what your IQ is that it of foundations, right? Relationship. It's a foundation of your relationships. So don't worry so much about what's on after the point. Just look at the Gene Key 12 and get that deep within you and understand what the Gene Key 12 is about. And yeah, I know you're in the hologenetic profile. Yeah. Good morning, Brenda. Good to see you. So I hope that helps, right? The point fours are equivalent to when you look here on the gene, on the human design chart, and you see, for example, in this day, it was the gate 18 and it was at the line one, 18.1. Remember, there are six lines. The first line is the investigator. The second line, the hermit. Gate three, or the line three, is the experimenter. Four is foundation energy. Five is the energy of the karmic mirror, and six is the role model. So in the Gene Keys, they're a little bit different, but explainable, but just not in today's conversation. It just takes it to the next level. Understand the 12 first, right? That's a lot to understand the gate 12 and how that affected your IQ, which is your mental development during 14 to age 14 to 21. Okay. All right, everybody. Well, remember, I will not see you tomorrow. I will see you again on Friday to take you through what is going on that day as well as the weekend. I'll try to write up something today that we'll post about tomorrow morning for you to let you know what the day tomorrow brings. And I will see you Friday morning. Take care, everybody. Bye for now.